Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled, Let No Man Beguile You, in Colossians chapter 2, covering verses 18 and 19. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send those by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. We've been asked to mention how that you can donate. We do not solicit funds, but we do thank each and every one of you who support this ministry with prayer as well as your financial donations. You can donate by sending check or money order to that same P.O. Box, 662 Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Make the check or money order out to Bible Believers Fellowship. Or you can donate by going to bbfohio.com and clicking the PayPal donation button. And now we begin our study titled, Let No Man Beguile You, Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, and they didn't find anything, you know. So. Yeah. All right. Colossians 2, 18, 19 is where we're at today. We've been going verse by verse through Colossians. And I'll say this, coming down to the end of another year of Bible study, we will have over 100 new studies, and they're all in 30-minute parts, so there's over 200 new videos online. Been doing that since about, I think, 2007 or 8, and approaching a couple thousand Bible teaching videos online, several million downloads of those on YouTube and Sermon Audio and Vimeo and other places. And we just encourage you, what I'm hoping in the next week or two, hopefully next week, I'm going to have a pamphlet, which will be a Bible reading calendar that you can follow. You go through Psalms, Proverbs twice, and the rest of the Bible once next year if you follow that reading plan. And if you wanted to go through the Bible twice, you just start in January 1 and June 1 and just go through both sections. And you could do that twice next year. But doing it once is better than most Christians ever do in their entire lifetime. Yeah. And that's not just a opinion thrown out there. They've actually done polls and asked people, have you ever read through the Bible? And very few Christians have ever done it. And so we'll have those for you. It's also downloadable if you go to bbfohio.com right on the website. You can click it. It comes up as a PDF. You can save it on your computer, print it out, whatever you want to do. Yeah, John?
Yeah. I've asked pastors up there right the
group. Yeah.
And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the pulpit.
That's the truth. Yeah, and you know what? I don't say much about how many times I've read it because, number one, you can read it and not pay attention to it.
That's true. Yeah.
And the important thing is you read at your speed and take it in. And the other thing is some of these preachers, and I'm not saying Martha's doing this or a preacher did, but some of, I've heard it, it's mostly boasting and not really trying to encourage people. So that's why I don't talk about, I've read the Bible. Well, I read the Bible through. I want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Join me.
Amen.
That's the point. Join me. And that's why we teach through the Bible. God gave us the Bible to be read from start to finish. You don't just jump into a letter someone sends you. It's 3 pages and you just skip to page 2 and pick a part you like. Right? And that's why we teach the Bible the way we do. Was you going to say something?
Oh, the principle is a lot. So you do a little every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why when we talk about having a couple thousand videos up, you know, a couple hours, a couple times a week, upload over a period of a decade, it becomes a big thing. I have people write me, some advice on how to have a great ministry. I think, and they'll say, your ministry is a great model for, I said, well, then you do a little, and you do it constantly, and it adds up
Yep.
over a period of years. So now, you know, some of these guys have a multimillionaire come in and drop $1 million in the pot. Welcome. But that doesn't happen to all of us. So, all right. Little current events update before we get into the text, because Christians today are ignorant. And we want you to not be ignorant, brethren, as Brother Stephen taught this morning. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's a comma there. And we do not want ignorance in among Christians. And I just want to remind you that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
America has seemed to have forgotten that. America is becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. Most of the major cities in America today are becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. It's creeping out into the heartland as well. But the inner city is almost every city you go to. And this was what the mark of, I believe, God's destruction is, when the Sodomites come out of hiding and try to take control. And they demand that you submit to them. That's the attitude expressed when Ezekiel talked about them later on. But also, we go right back to the Sodom and Gomorrah story, chapters 19 and 20. Genesis 19:9, and they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." That's exactly what you get today.
Yeah.
"You Christians think you can judge me. Don't judge." Now, we don't have time to get into it, but if you believe the Bible teaches you not to judge, you believe heresy.
Amen.
The Bible says not to judge as a hypocrite.
Amen.
Don't judge while you yourself are involved in sin.
Yeah.
And you judge with a desire for reconciliation. So your motive has to be right too. But you do judge and you confront people. That's biblical Christianity. You look at it and you say, the Bible says this is wrong. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'd like to see you get right with God. I'm a sinner saved by grace. The only difference between, and people say, well, why do you pick on the whole Sodomite thing the way you do? Two reasons. Number one, because that's the sin of the day.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Amen.
Number two, because other sinners don't parade about it.
Amen.
They don't walk up and down the streets daring you to call what they do a sin. You don't have thief parades. You don't have adultery pride parades. You have gay pride. Now they're just calling it pride because they think they're basically consuming our culture, and they really are. Taken over, just like in this text. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." This Sodomite movement wants to destroy you if you will not go along with them. You see, if you go along with them, these homosexuals in your community, they'll be the nicest people you ever met. They'll tell everybody, "Oh, go down to so-and-so's business. Oh, those are wonderful neighbors. Oh, that church, yes, they're inclusive." Yeah, allies. But if you take a stand against them, they want to destroy you. And it's not even taking a stand against them. It's just that if you will not submit to them, just simply submitting to them, their message to you today, the so-called LGBTQ movement, is that you will submit. For example, when it comes to, we talked about child custody this morning. If one parent, I showed a story last week, a man who will not allow his 6-year-old son to dress as a girl, the courts took the boy away from him. Because the mother says the boy's a trans. If you want to be a foster parent today, and we have somebody you can talk to who can give you first-hand experience, if you want to be a foster parent in Franklin County, you have to be a Sodomite or an ally. If you stand against sin, they will not let you be a foster parent today. If you're a teacher and you speak openly about your faith, and that homosexuality is a sin, even when you're not on the job, if they find out about it, they'll fire you.
Yeah.
And I can give you examples of that. But even today, they even eat their own. I always said this, liberals are cannibals. Liberals eat their own. Here's the latest example, is a comedian. He's a foul-mouthed comedian named Kevin Hart. It's not enough for him to be foul-mouthed and all that. They went back and found tweets several years old. They called them homophobic. Yeah, it's been 2009, so it's been almost a decade. Going on a decade. Things he posted almost a decade ago, he's now been bumped from the Oscars. At first he said he wasn't going to apologize, but you will submit. He's now apologized. Here's another example. This year's Heisman winner, Kyler Murray. What happened? They went back and found old tweets. Called him homophobic. This ain't over. I wouldn't be surprised. There's a possibility they'll take that trophy back from him. Why? Because the sodomites are taking over in America, and Christians who think they're too highbrowed and too intellectual to join the fight are allowing them to do so. They'd rather bootlick and get along with everybody than to take a stand. And I'm here to tell you that I don't care. Even I know it ain't going to happen. The people who we rent this building off of are good people. But if they came in here and said, you will never preach against that again, folks, next week we'll meet in a barn.
Amen.
I am not going to bow a knee to this sodomite culture. Amen. And I'm basically, in a very genteel way, trying to warn you that if you want to be a part of this church, you better make a choice. Amen. You're going to stand with the Lord, or you're going to stand with the world. And remember, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Go look that up if you don't know what I mean. And real quick before we move on is this term homophobia. It's a fictitious term. As a matter of fact, the term homosexual is fictitious. They're sodomites. But that's why they came up with the term homosexuals. They don't want to be identified with the people that God destroyed in the Bible. So they came up with their own word, homosexual. And if you don't like the homosexuals, they'll use Nazi tactics. Sodomites seek to demonize anyone opposing their agenda. Just like if you stood against the Nazis in Germany before World War II, they would come after your shop. If you owned a shop, they would come after your job if you had a job where they could affect it. Then they would come after your home, and then they would come after you for not standing. And it wasn't just Jews. It was anybody who stood against the Nazis. And that is what is happening. That's why I call them SS. Just like the Nazi soldiers were SS, today's liberal is an SS, a sodomite soldier. And I'm giving you example after example of men especially, but even women, it's happened to them in their jobs, losing their jobs, losing their families, losing their homes, losing their churches because of this thing going on with the sodomites. And all the, especially men today, who call themselves Christians, who are cowards.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
And won't take a stand. You ever heard of Percocet? Mm-hmm. Christians need to take a pill called Groacet. Thank you, John Hartman, for that joke. So, with that motivational speech, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into our text. And Father, we do thank you for the gathering today, and we thank you for the book that we have. That everybody in this room has a book, or should, because it's so accessible in our country still yet today. There's going to come a time where they'll ban it because it speaks against their sin. But right now we can get this book, and we thank you for it. We have a stack of them here to give away to anyone who needs one. We thank you for the ability to do that and the opportunity. And now we open it. We don't want to be a church that just waves it around and talks about it. We don't just use the King James Bible, we believe it. Amen. And we ask, Lord, now that as we study, your Holy Spirit be our guide and our teacher. And Lord, that everyone here will have a spine and stand up for the truth and for righteousness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Colossians 2:18 and 19, and we're taking our title from the first five words there. Let no man beguile you. Let no man beguile you. And as we saw in our previous studies, false cults and teachers want to control you. Paul is saying, don't let them. They want to tell you what you can eat. They want to tell you what you can drink. They want to tell you what holidays you should or should not partake in, even when those holidays don't involve any biblical sin that is mentioned. And they also want to get you to go back under the law and the new moons and the Sabbath days. All of that is, just as we said about this sodomite culture in America today, it's a desire to control you. You ought to be careful not only in the world, but wherever you attend church. That if I ever were to stand up here and start trying to control you, I'm going out of my job description. My job description in the Bible is to shepherd. I'm not a slave master.
Amen.
And I am simply to teach the word, and I'm basically an under-shepherd. I'm here to tell you what the boss has to say.
Amen.
And if you don't do what the boss has to say, you're going to deal with the boss. Amen?
Amen?
That's the best job to have. I never wanted to be the boss. I like to be the guy who could be, you know, the underling and say, you know, hey, you got a problem with it, go talk to Carl, you know? And we're going to see that in verse 18 and 19, he continues with this warning. Go ahead and read both verses with me, verses 18 and 19. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God.
Amen.
All God's people say amen. Those first words, let no man beguile you. And we already warned in verse 4 of this chapter, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you. And look what it says, with enticing words. See, a lot of guys can make a lie sound real good, palatable. What do? You have to be a Berean, as Acts 17:11 says, and you have to search the Scriptures to see if what you're being told is true.
Yeah, amen.
And 1 John 4:1 says, try the spirits. That means you put them on trial. How do you do that? You take expert witness testimony from this book. That's how you know whether something's true or false. And Martha this morning and a few of us on Wednesday night talked about, for example, and I'm only talking about this because it is very, very public, and that is the passing of Chris Bradley, the weatherman, here on local television. Now, he was an unrepentant sodomite. He was married to a man legally, not in God's eyes, but legally. And he claimed to be a man of faith. Well, I'm sorry, but although there are a lot of people who preach a gospel without repentance, the Bible teaches that a Christian repents.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who may struggle with a sin, but someone who is an outright and open homosexual is no different than someone coming in here who is an outright and open adulterer. I'm not saying someone who's struggling with sexual sin, someone who's hiding it, and God's going to deal with them. Amen? You can be a Christian and commit sin. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, when you are unrepentant, it'd be somebody coming in here with his without his wife and with the woman he's having adulterous sex with, and sitting down the pew and announcing it to everybody and saying, I'm with my adulteress and you're going to like it or lump it. And we're going to say, no, you're going to lump it.
Amen.
We're not going to put up with that in our midst.
Amen.
Well, sadly, that was Chris Bradley. He publicly claimed to be a Christian while living in homosexual sin. He was not, according to the Scripture, a Christian.
Amen.
He had a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Now, if you want to be a sucker and go along with that, you go right ahead. Monday, they're going to have an all-day tribute to the man. I don't have a problem with the fact that they have a tribute to him as a weatherman. But they're not going to stop there. They're going to have a tribute to him as a man of, quote-unquote, faith. Well, his faith was anti-biblical. I don't wish anything on Chris. I don't wish anyone in hell. But we have to stand for the truth. And the truth is, if you're going to be saved, you repent toward God, away from whatever it is you're involved with that is against God. Struggling with it is not the same thing as proudly, boastfully engaging in it.
Amen.
I don't care. Let's say you're a thief, and I find out you're a thief, and you come in here and you say, well, you know, I am, but you know, it's just one of those things. No, it's not one of those things. You're going to either repent or you're not going to be welcome among this family of Christians.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what it is. Well, let no man beguile you with enticing words, and that's exactly what all of Central Ohio, with just a small remnant of exception, has suffered under this thing with Chris Bradley in the local TV news. They're beguiled. And I've run across them out there saying, well, I don't agree with his lifestyle, but I believe he was sincere, and you know, he's saved, he's a Christian. No, no, you're beguiled. You've been beguiled. And you've been beguiled by enticing words. There are more and more Christians today who are being beguiled into believing that, well, Jesus is a way. He's a way. But I believe if you're sincere and you're a Buddhist or you're a Muslim, then you'll go to heaven too. Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
I'll believe Jesus before I believe you.
Amen.
You tell me Jesus is a way, I'm going to correct you with the Bible.
Amen.
He's the way. And we've seen the video clips of Oprah Winfrey promoting Jesus as only a way. We've seen the old clips of Billy Graham before he died saying that he believed people could get to heaven in other ways. We've seen where Joel Osteen won't come out and say that Jesus is the way. Why? Because these are the last days. And we have more and more hirelings instead of real men of God in the pulpit. And they're all about the money. They're all about the big crowds. They're all about everything God's against. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
1 Timothy 6:10. So, don't be beguiled with enticing words, as we saw earlier. The word beguiled, just to make clear, it means to delude or to deceive. I like this, to impose on by artifice, trick or fraud, or by craft. Some of these guys, they have turned the lie into a craft. They have turned their ability to deceive people with their tongue. It's like watching someone paint or watching a violist, is that what they call it, a pianist, whatever. And their tongue has become their instrument of deception. And they've turned it into a craft. They will beguile you. And with the beguile you, it says that they were beguiling you of your reward, both in this life and the life to come. You'll lose reward. Salvation is not of works, but our works dictate our rewards. In other words, Christians who are beguiled and then go along with this stuff, keep your finger there. I just want to show you this just for the record. Romans 1. Brother Stephen and Brother John are teaching our open Bible study Sunday schools at 10 a.m.
Amen.
And they're getting ready to get into this chunk of Romans 1. And I want to take you to the very end in verse 32. But I want you to see, as you turn in there, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. That's what God says about two men or two women in a relationship. You can call it love if you want. God calls it a vile affection.
Amen.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves, this is the reward they get, that recompense of their error which was meet. And it says in verse 28, and this is why I believe people like Mr. Bradley and others become so obstinate in their sin. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And what's the result of that? To do those things which are not convenient, meaning that they are doing things against the Word of God. But it's not just the homosexuals, as they're called, engaging in sex. It's those who support them. Read verse 32. Read that with me. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God's calling out not only the people who sin, but those who compromise and accommodate, is the word, accommodating this sin. And just this week, what's her name? Lauren, what is it? I'm trying to think of her name. The Daigle? Lauren Daigle. That's how out of touch I am with CCM, but she's the number one CCM female singer, and her songs have been going on the secular charts. And she's in a radio interview and asked, how does she deal with homosexuality and whether or not it's a sin? Do you believe it's a sin? She says, I don't know. I have a lot of friends who are homosexual, and I just, I'm not God, so I'm not going to say. That's what, listen folks, CCM, Christian contemporary music, is compromised Christian music. It is filled with sodomites, not only the singers, but the people in the bands, the producers, the people on the business side of it. I've had that told to me by people who are in the industry for years. They've said, and by the way, so is Southern Gospel. Filled with sodomites. And that's why they're all shutting up and not saying a word about that sin. Because if they do, they lose their career. And sadly, Lauren decided she didn't want to lose her career in CCM or in the secular ranks, so she compromised. If you love Lauren and you know her personally, you need to have her read Romans 1:32, because she's under condemnation right now. If she is a real believer, she'll be under the chastisement of God, if she's a real believer. And that's true of you this morning. Just want you to understand that. If you're really a Christian, you're not a fake, you're not a fraud, you're not here this morning putting on a show, you've really been born again, you've repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that He died and paid for your sins with His blood, and that they put Him in a tomb, and 3 days later He rose from the dead, and you're trusting in that for salvation, you're a real Christian, and you compromise and accommodate Sodom, God will chastise you. You can be loved by the world and keep your job for a while, but God will deal with you. That's just a warning. And Romans 1:32 tells you what He thinks of those who do that. So if we allow ourselves to be beguiled, we lose reward. There are Christians today who, just think about it, there are Christians today who paid the price. There are Christians who have lost their jobs, lost their wives. Listen, we've talked this morning, several of us, and I'm one of them, given an ultimatum, turn on the Lord or lose the marriage. You lose the marriage. I don't care what Focus on the Family says. I don't care what any of them, Gothard, I don't know what he even said on it, but any of these guys have been teaching people to make their marriage an idol. If your spouse gives you an ultimatum to follow God or follow them, you follow God. Let God deal with them. And you get yourself a good attorney and you fight. Nothing in the Bible says you're to lay down and just let a spouse walk all over you when they go into the world. And especially if kids are involved, for the sake of those children, you fight, you win. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. But there...